Welcome back to the Man, a Machine podcast, brought to you by Archimedes International. I'm your host, Dr. Ian Bett, and you have found us on episode 73. They said it couldn't be done, but we have done it. And we are so fortunate to have a special guest, putting him on the hot seat, because when he's here, typically, he's hosting. But we've got Matt Makowiak for episode 73 to talk about all the chaos and maybe the future and confusion of Peloton. Matt, how does it feel to be the guest on the Man and Machine podcast?
Well, Dr. Bett, it is a pleasure to be back on the podcast for episode 73. I feel like I'm in the hot seat. Like you said, you're the one doing the intro. You're the one asking me questions today. So I need to stretch before we hop on the bike and get after this workout on Peloton and talk about what happened this past week.
Yeah, I think anyone who's listened before knows that you've already done some training. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. There's probably been at least one training regimen done. And training is something maybe that the leadership of Peloton could turn to you for. You know, we had a conversation in episode 59, that episode we titled One Peloton, and you hosted, and we talked about the fitness and the exercise. We're turning the tables because you sent me a bunch of information. I could see the smoke coming from up near Toledo. And what I didn't realize, it was Peloton potentially burning to the ground. How do you feel about that, Matt?
Oh, well, you know, time heals a lot of wounds, Dr. Bett. So I think when this all broke a couple of days ago, and obviously what we're talking about here is, you know, Peloton, their CEO stepped down, didn't resign completely from the company, but he is no longer the CEO of Peloton. Almost 3,000 jobs were eliminated from the company. And you're right, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about, you know, the future of fitness technology and Peloton leading that charge. And yet here we are just 14 episodes later where Peloton is no longer the Peloton that we once thought it was. But, you know, let's take a look back and maybe some of the follies that, you know, were bestowed upon this company. Obviously the company is, you know, it's a 10-year-old company, so it's been around for a while, but really the rapid growth that took place was during the start of the pandemic. As I mentioned in episode 59, and I think before that, I got my Peloton in March of 2020, 1 week before the lockdowns began, and that started my Peloton journey. But, you know, like many people, I mean, they got the bike, gyms were closed.
Right.
It was a perfect mix for the pandemic and fitness. And you can do many workouts. There's running. There's obviously they added the treadmill, you know, I think in 2021. So it wasn't that long, maybe it was before that, but you know, the treadmill was there as well. And the company was growing rapidly. Jobs were being hired. They recently acquired a piece of land not too far outside of Toledo, Ohio, to build their production facility because they had to meet demand, right? I mean, there was a lack of getting the bikes out to people because the bikes were so hot. So fast forward to today, obviously, as some have stated, and you can maybe speak to this a little bit more about the endemic to the pandemic, right? People are returning to gyms. Maybe they're not buying the bike as much. And that kind of created this whirlwind of you know, I think their problem, Dr. Bett, was they misread the room. And that's probably putting it lightly, right? Is thinking that this growth was going to be ongoing. They were going to project to the moon. And people went back to the way they were doing it before. So all that growth, all those jobs that they created or thought that they were going to need, they didn't need anymore. And they spent money like crazy. I mean, I think that's the other problem too, is they spent a lot of money that they didn't have.
Yeah. And we're talking like more money than me in Las Vegas during March Madness, which, you know, and just in jest here, people who've listened and you'll attest to, you did get a Peloton to help train. You do all sorts of other training and you train on the Peloton. And then sometimes you go out for a run and you're carrying the Peloton on your back. That's what I've been hearing, at least. You said
that's our friend Kevin Roski, by the way. He does that.
Okay. Well, you know, we're all getting into it together coming up soon for the David Goggins 4x4x48 challenge. So the listening audience can be excited to hear our aches and pains afterwards. But Matt, you sent you know, some really good information, because you have been following Peloton as a consumer. You've done some work for them. You're obviously up near where they built this huge plant. So you sent me some great information. And then this thread on Twitter by a gentleman by the name of Liam Killingstad. And we we hit him up on Twitter. He hasn't responded yet, but we'll tag him again and see if he wants to give us some inside info. But we'll tag it because he like dissects this like he's a pathologist doing a cadaver. What are some of the highlights here, Matt? Because it's pretty robust. And I called it damning before, but I think eye-opening might be a better term.
Well, there's an investment firm called Blackwell, and they did this report, you know, basically saying that, you know, Peloton needs to sell. And this is the reason why that they need to sell. Part of the reason why they got into trouble, Blackwell was five areas where they really messed up big time. So one is lack of management qualifications. I think that they're pointing the finger directly at former CEO John Foley, who I think, you know, maybe in jest he had mentioned, maybe he was serious, but he mentioned that he's not a good manager. And the second thing is poor decision making. So that doesn't help when you're not a good manager, and lack of financial discipline. And he also said he's not a money guy. So, you know, he's the idea guy, right? He's the rah rah, you know, let's go get him kind of guy, but he's not good at management, not good at money. Well, you can kind of see by losing 3,000 jobs and being in a world of hurt financially that doesn't help. Misalignment of interest and loss of credibility. So I think Foley's been fighting this battle, you know, really for the last year or so, especially with the treadmill issue where there was a child that was killed by the treadmill. We discussed that, and you know, part of it is it Peloton's fault? Is it, you know, is it the parents' fault? There's a line there that, you know, probably a little bit of both is, you know, is true. And I hate to say that with the death of a child, but
sure.
I feel like there's some accountability that has to be, you know, stressed by the people involved in this. So you know, there's kind of the Molotov cocktail, if you will, of, you know, why Peloton struggled recently. But there's also good in this, Dr. Bett. I mean, they kind of lay out, you know, who would be a good buyer of Peloton, you know, if it's going to be acquired. And I think if you look at what happened this past week, you know, the shares were at one point, I think, $160-some. I mean, it was crazy, right? I mean, that's a lot of money. And I think at that time, too, you know, not too long ago, John Foley did cash out his stock. I mean, he along with a lot of people, you know,
$100 million is what it says here, Matt. He might say that he doesn't know finances very well. I think somebody does, though.
Well, maybe he read the room before the room was read. I'm not sure. So, but you know, they talk about firms that would be a good partner to, you know, to purchase them. Amazon, you know, for example, I think is set up to kind of get that. I think the best one that they pointed out was Apple. I mean, Apple is a prime one with the subscription base, and you've got, you know, adding that it's not so much the content, right? I mean, the content is key, and we're going to get into that in a second here. But the big thing is the product. I mean, you know, the bike is well made, and you know, for Apple to go out and to build a similar bike, you know, would cost, you know, millions or maybe even billions of dollars. I mean, in terms of development. But you know, if you acquire a company like Peloton, you've already got that product there. So you can just add different ways to stream the content, to get content in people's hands, get the classes in people's hands. And that's where Blackwell points out that it's, you know, what's so amazing is their content has grown over the last, you know, couple of years. The people using the content has grown tremendously over the last couple of years. There's no decline in the use of the product. Mm-hmm. So now, is there a plateau for buying the product? You know, yes. But in terms of the subscriptions and the people utilizing the content, that's off the charts. So there's a lot of good there. It's just a matter of, you know, how do you find a way to regrow, you know, the company, to regrow the product sales. That's the key, I think, that Blackwell is trying to point out here. and who they brought in to be the new CEO is the guy that, you know, Netflix, right? Was it Netflix, Spotify? I mean,
yeah. It's Barry McCarthy is now the CEO. We'll talk. Yeah. We'll talk about their first meeting here in a moment, I think.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's good and bad with everything, but ironically, you know, as we were talking about the stock sales, right? It was like $160 some was the high point. The low point was $25, which wasn't too long ago. I mean, it had dropped, and the joke was, how do you lose $35 billion in company value in 2 years? And this is the recipe for it, is what our friend Liam Killingstad wrote. But the one thing I do want to point out here is when they made this announcement, as bad as it was for Peloton, their stock jumped to $37 a share. So, and they're still built in a way where they might not get acquired. They're still looking to kind of be their own thing right now. So it's an interesting time. The reorg is definitely going to ruffle some feathers, as you pointed out here on this call that we're about to talk about. And I want to take it from your perspective, and then I'll give you my opinion on it, because I've talked long enough here.
Yeah, so I do want to get to this call because it's kind of humorous. And I think it speaks to the maybe lack of leadership within the organization to not be able to predict some of these things. But another thing I wanted to point out, Matt, we had a great time on episode 59 talking about the fitness aspect. Somebody that we have followed, your boy, Scott Galloway, Prof. G., actually did a presentation where he was, you know, talking about 2022, and he called this. He said Peloton is likely to get purchased, and he called Apple as the one that was most likely to do it for the same reasons you just pointed out. I'm not sure if you consulted him on that presentation he gave, or if you're just as savvy as he is, but he said what you highlighted here, which is that the subscription service is still taking off. It's the actual product that they have kind of reached a steady state. In my understanding, and you might have some better insight, is that they have built enough Pelotons, the physical product, that even if Kevin Rolski decided to carry two at a time, they wouldn't need to build anymore for at least another year. And that's where I think the issue, amongst all the other financial things, but this plant that they're building up nearby you, they've got enough product, they've got the interest of the users. And so maybe that's, you know, they got ahead of their skis a little bit, but that doesn't make them a less viable company. They just need a change in perspective as to say, how do we get through the next year or two? And if that's to be purchased, so be it, or do we need to scale back? So this call, Matt, apparently they didn't realize that you shouldn't invite now former employees to the new call and introduction for the CEO. That's basically the take-home message. If you've fired 3,000 people, don't invite them to meet the new CEO. It's not going to turn out well.
We were talking about this call that Peloton had, you know, this past week, and the employees that were invited to the party. And, you know, as you mentioned, you don't really want to invite employees that you just laid off to the call to introduce the new CEO and talk about this great new vision for the company. And ironically, you know, we had a little technical difficulty here on the podcast with the recording. Maybe there's, I know there's no former Archimedes International employees that would have hijacked this. So it must be your competition that is out there looking to get us. But I think, and we were talking about before, I think the problem with these employees and why they're so upset is this unbridled optimism that Leah mentioned. And the problem with that is Foley's making it look like everything is great. I think people wondered when he cashed out his stock in 2021 or cashed out a good portion of it, that people knew that something was going on. And there was talks of a reorg that was going to happen with the company. I think there was people knew that something was going to happen it was the earnings call, I think, on Tuesday. That's when they kind of dropped the bomb.
Yeah.
And people on Monday, when they're when their Slack and their company's apps weren't working anymore. Kind of had an idea. And when they got the email saying that, hey, you're going to talk to your team leader tomorrow, I think the gig was up at that point. So, you know, it's terrible from a personal perspective, right? But from a business perspective, I mean, it's bad, but they're still churning. And like you said, I mean, they got about a year or two ahead of themselves here. And there's still time to make everything right as a company, as Professor, as Prof G was kind of saying, that there's still that potential, yeah, whether they sell or whether they stay independent. Nobody likes getting fired. Nobody likes to see people lose their jobs. But in the business world, I mean, these things happen all the time, right? I mean, this is not something that's new. And I think Peloton being at the forefront of the pandemic and being a success story makes it a little shocking, I think, to and the way that they've just mismanaged this whole process is, you know, is definitely terrible. But it's not uncommon, Dr. Bed. I mean, this is what happens with businesses. People fail and then they learn and then they can, yep, make it better. Now, if you fail again from this, then yeah, you're done. I mean, I think that's where we differ in opinion, is you're kind of like, hey, they're done. I'm kind of like, well, I don't think they're done just yet, but they're definitely not going to be the same. And there's some animosity and there's people that probably won't buy the product because of what happened, but time heals all wounds. Obviously, yeah, the subscriptions are still going strong. People are still using the Peloton. That's not dropping off at all. So as long as people keep continuing to do that, they like their instructors, they like the classes, they feel like they're part of a, you know, a unique group of people. I think it's a good story to rebound from. They might not happen right away, but I think you'll see Peloton come back.
Yeah. And I think for the listening audience, if you happen to be on the board at Peloton or the new CEO of Peloton, because we'll link you here. This is unsolicited advice. If you'd like some solicited advice, sounds like Matt's got the inside track to take you to the next level. Because I definitely think I'm playing the pessimist role here, Matt. You're taking the optimist role. I know that you're a big fan. I know you're a big user for your training. Definitely helps out in the cold Midwest early morning to not have to be out slogging on the ice. And so there is a utility here, and whether they get purchased or not will be interesting. You know, I looked at one of the articles you sent. They're going to finish the plant up nearby you, and they'll be looking for a buyer in 2023. So Archimedes International has the work cut out for it in 2022 to be, you know, making an offer on that plant up near Toledo. Not sure what we'd put in there. Might just be a big open space. Going to have to free up some cash flow to make that happen. But I'll be interested to see what happens with that space.
Yeah, and I think it's a little unfortunate because I know being in this area, you know, the regional growth partnership that we have up here, was very excited to create the jobs and you know, kind of have that brand be here. And there was discussions of Peloton kind of outfitting a, you know, like a YMCA, you know, to, you know, with some of their bikes and treadmills and things like that. So, you know, that's going to go away and that's going to be, you know, going to leave a bitter taste locally here with a lot of people. But I mean, think about this, Dr. Bett. How many other companies developed a like product like Peloton? I mean, what, Nordic Track? I mean, they have a bike. Echelon Fitness has a bike. I mean, you go to Costco, there's a knockoff Peloton that's there too. So, you know, if this is such a bad business, then why are other people copying it? Right. I guess that's my question.
Yeah. And so it's, I think when I talk to you or get text messages from you after a training session, you know, the instructors, it seems like, have become the real face of Peloton. And they are selling fitness, they're selling a lifestyle, they're selling themselves. And so while maybe I'll throw some shade on John Foley here for making $100 million selling his company's stock. He can say that he doesn't understand finances and that he doesn't understand technology, certainly understands the stock market. And I'm sure he's not going to lose any sleep over the financial windfall he got himself. Now, I know that the people who lost jobs up in Northwest Ohio are going to feel it. At least this article makes it sound like there's going to be some severance and some opportunities for them, but it still stinks in the midst of the pandemic. And there's been a lot of economic downturn, a lot of fanfare, like you said, for that community that's going to fall flat on its face. And then when you can see that the CEO had a $100 million windfall off the stock price, you know, they've got on the 16th thread that part of this thread that Liam Killingstead had talks about mismanagement. And he says they had $450 million on New York City office space. I mean, hell, they're going to have a pretty large space up there in Northwest Ohio. They could probably fit about 16 offices in there and still be ready. Yep, still be ready to ramp up when it comes time to build more product.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's egg on their face right now. It's not good. But I want to kind of morph the conversation if I could, Dr. Bett.
Please.
I like throwing you curveballs. So
you're the guest here. You are the first guest and host. So we're groundbreakers here on the Man and Machine podcast, man.
Gonna put that on my resume. No, I think what's interesting is look at what we're using right now. We're using Zoom. And what's going to happen when people go back to in-person meetings? I mean, it's kind of already begun, you know, in some regards, but you know, if the end to the pandemic is close, how many people are going to be using Zoom? I mean, how many products boom during the pandemic, and how much are we going to still do that? Or are we going to go back to the grocery store? Or are we just going to order all of our groceries online? Different ways of looking at things. Takeout food versus actually going to restaurants. I mean, I think there's probably, if people are going back to gyms, I have to imagine there's going to be a hunger to return back to normal life, you know, in most regards. And I think some things will still be you know, used and powerful, like they have been over the pandemic, especially online shopping and things like that. But, you know, this is a classic, this is probably one of the first dominoes to fall of the return to normal.
Yeah. And I think that there is great opportunity for these companies that have built, you know, a user base, right? Whether that's myself knowing who they are, even though I don't own a Peloton, that speaks volumes. The fact that we've had two episodes now on the podcast talking about this one company, one very optimistic, one, let's say, you know, vacillating here between optimism and pessimism, depending on who's speaking. And then, you know, there is an opportunity for them to grow, maybe not vertically, right, in terms of production. But, and again, if you're listening and on the leadership board, you're going to have to pay us for this advice if you want any more detail. But embedding themselves within the day-to-day existence, right, back into these gyms, back into other locations that people will use their product and create even a bigger thirst and hunger as we get back to doing many things in person that for the last 2 years we haven't done. So I'm like 55% pessimistic, and I'm just throwing out the 45% because I do think there's a, you know, some lessons to be learned here. If you had to guess, Matt, you know, because one of the main themes of this thread is that Peloton is going to be purchased. And that's definitely what Prof. G had to say as well at the beginning of the year. And he might have had some inside information, not in a negative way, but he does this for a living. So he may have realized some of these things that were going to happen, like the bellwether of Foley making $100 million selling the company stock. What do you think? 2022, what odds do you give that Peloton is going to be under the umbrella of a larger organization?
I don't think it happens this year. I mean, I think if they kind of survive all the bad press this past week, and I think that they'll probably, you know, they're going to go through with their new plan, see how that goes. And then if it doesn't, you know, when they right size, maybe they'll be primed for acquisition at that point, or maybe they'll rebound it completely and they're a solid company and they just kind of decide to stay more scaled down and get that growth, you know, grow slower than the rapid ascension that they had over the pandemic. So I think they're going to kind of run through this plan first, get right, and then they'll see if they're going to be bought or not. I can tell you that probably one organization, the NFL, probably benefited from all the bad press with Peloton this past week, as they were going through their own Brian Flores, Miami Dolphins, NFL issues with hiring. They're like, wow, there's another company. Look how screwed up they are over there. You know, never mind the guy behind the curtain over here.
Yeah. And I think you might be right. If you look and dial into the basics of the company, and some of the financial missteps they've taken are definitely a hit, but they have a good user base. They've got a great utility in terms of health and fitness. They've got a following. And so if I had to guess, I'm going to follow your lead and say that they don't get acquired in 2022. And maybe they did get ahead of their skis, but they will be able to balance themselves and maybe grow in a different way than we expect. I'll be interested to see, you know, if in another 10 episodes or 20 episodes or, you know, some other point in time, we're having another discussion about a surprise coming out of Peloton, but it could be a really positive surprise. Now, Matt, I know that you've already done one training session today. I know you've got another, at least another one coming up. Any final thoughts on this turn of events, let's call it that, for Peloton this past week?
Well, it definitely wasn't a good week, but as I said before, I mean, it's only failure if you don't learn from it, right? So I think the next two quarterly income calls will probably be, you know, very telling to see where this company is going. If people drop off after this past week and they don't want to be a part of Peloton anymore and they don't want to use the product, then I think there'll be some panic and then people will look to sell. But I think if they're kind of staying the same in status quo and they just need to kind of right size from the unbridled optimistic growth to the reality of the situation at the moment, and you can get your company to be the right size with the right costs, you know, with the right revenue projections, then you can be around for a while. And this will be, you know, I think as the new CEO said, I mean, America loves a comeback story, right? So this could be one. Maybe their marketing is going to tone down a little bit to kind of let things go by for right now. But yeah, well, I mean, let's just kind of see where it goes. Obviously, I think this, like I mentioned before, this is really an interesting domino that's falling with the return to normalcy. And I'm sure this isn't going to be the last company that we hear basing all their projections off of COVID growth and pandemic growth, and then realizing that, hey, we're going back to reality and that's just not sustainable anymore. As I mentioned, Zoom, the platform that we're on right now, it'd be interesting to see where they go. You know, it's just interesting, Dr. Bett. I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, and you've been on the front lines. I mean, let's be honest here. You've been on the front lines of this pandemic for, you know, almost 2 years now. Next month will be 2 years. And the thought of going back to normal, does it scare you or does it excite you? Or are you just not kind of sure yet, you know, how you feel about it?
Yeah, well, both Peloton and I will have an interesting 2022. Let's leave it at that. So, Matt, I think you did an excellent job as the resident guest and expert on Peloton. Looking forward to another episode with you with roles reversed or shared. We have finished up episode 73 of the Man and Machine podcast brought to you by Archimedes International. Looking forward to getting this one up online. If you are listening and this is you know, your 73rd episode with us. Thanks for always coming back. We're always adding some new followers, getting some good traction online and social media. If you drop in every once in a while, I would recommend going back and listening to episode 59, where we talked about Peloton. And that was just back in November 2021. But if this is your first time listening to the Man and Machine podcast, we like to talk about science and technology and artificial intelligence and the things that go into making the future. So until next time, remember that the imagined fuels reality.